Hello and welcome to Sci-Fi.
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 Yes, Sci-Fi, 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 a podcast where we occasionally review audiobooks, but today we are talking about the Hugo nominations for 2017. So yes, today we're going to be going over our Hugo ballots and talking about either who we're thinking about voting for or who we did vote for Hugo 2017. And I believe we have till
the 15th.
The 15th.
Hurry up and vote.
Hurry up and vote.
July 15th.
Yes, indeed. So yes, we are going to start with the best novel category. And the nominees are A Closed and Common Orbit by Becky Chambers, All the Birds in the Sky by Charlie Jane Anders, The Obelisk Gate by N.K. Jemisin, Nine Fox Gambit by Yoon-Ha Lee, Two Like the Lightning by Ada Palmer, and Death's End by, I believe it's pronounced Chi-Shin Lu, but I'm probably butchering that. We've read most of these. We didn't read Death's End. So what did you guys think? Who are your favorite picks?
I'm voting for A Closed and Common Orbit.
For your number one?
Yep.
And let's see. I'm going to guess that number two for you is All the Birds in the Sky.
You did read them in the order in which I ranked them. Mostly because you're reading from my ballot.
That's what you think, because it's true. Okay. Kevin, did you have any particular comments?
I was having a tough time picking it. Right, I currently have Obelisk Gate as number one and Closed and Common Orbit as two. I have sort of that, I think the same issue as you with like when an author wins the previous time, I part of me is like, well, they shouldn't win two times in a row. But on the other hand, if like all the other entrances aren't as good, then I'm like, well, why shouldn't they? But I don't know. Anyway.
So I think that my votes are kind of the inverse of yours on these.
I put All the Birds in the Sky third and then Night Fox Gambit. And then I did list Two Like the Lightning next, and I'm not voting for Death's End. I haven't read it, but I read the first one and I really didn't like it. So it's not going on the list.
Yes. I'm debating. I think I will probably put Closed and Common Orbit first. Two Like the Lightning is probably number two, Nine Fox Gambit number three, All the Birds in the Sky, and then Obelisk Gate. It's really hard to do because I think all of the ones on here are really good. All right, moving on to Best Novella, where we haven't necessarily read all of them. We've got Every Heart a Doorway by Shauna McGuire. We've got The Ballad of Black Tom by Victor Laval. The Dream Quest of Velet Bow by Kidge Johnson. Penric and the Shaman by Lois McMaster Bujold. A Taste of Honey by Kai Ashante Wilson. And This Census Taker by China Mieville. I think that personally, I am a big fan of Every Heart a Doorway by Shauna McGuire. I haven't read most of the rest of them. What did you guys think?
Yeah, I'd only really read Every Heart a Doorway, so that's where my one vote went.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've read Every Heart a Doorway, which I ranked number one, and The Ballad of Black Tom as number two, which I actually liked quite a bit as well. Although I thought Shauna McGuire's was a little more developed.
Okay. Skipping ahead to Best Related Work, we've got The Geek Feminist Revolution by Cameron Hurley, The Princess Diarist by Carrie Fisher, Traveler of Worlds, Conversations with Robert Silverberg by Robert Silverberg and Alvaro Zeno Samaro. I would sort of deduct points if Robert Silverberg wasn't actually on that list. It's just like, it's only my part of the conversations. The View from the Cheap Seats by Neil Gaiman, The Woman of Harry Potter Posts by Sarah Gailey, Words Are My Matter, Writings About Life and Books, 2000 to 2016, by Ursula K. Le Guin, Small Beer Press. I just noticed that because it's an interesting name. I think that we're mostly doing a certain amount of judging books by their cover here. I don't know if we're really feeling inclined to vote on these. Just, do we have anything to say about it?
Well, yeah. My initial thought was that before I even had read anything for them at all was like, well, I like, you know, Ursula Le Guin, I like Neil Gaiman, and, you know, I guess I'd like Carrie Fisher in her roles. I haven't read much of anything that she's written, but I did do a kind of a quick perusal of the stuff that was released, you know, to the voters. So I can say that I at least skimmed some of the things I mentioned. And there were some interesting things in the Le Guin book. Because it's actually half of that book is, you know, it's all of her nonfiction stuff, but she also reviews other books as basically half of the content. So it's like she reviewed Man in the High Castle by Philip K. Dick. And so it has some interesting stuff about how she was like, well, we both went to the same high school, but nobody that I've talked to even remembered who he was. And there's actually, his picture actually isn't in the yearbook, even though his name is. And so it was, you
That's
know,
because Philip K. Dick is actually an invader from another reality.
Well, she did kind of like make it, you know, sort of a quasi joke about, you know, that, you know, not that, but that, you know, he, you know, his stuff was very otherworldly and, you know, maybe his life is too or something.
Well, it does seem kind of Phil Dickian for him, for all traces of him to have been wiped from his high school.
Right. So, you know, I will admit that I'm a huge sucker and I probably would have voted for her anyway, but just reading the little bit I did, you know, I'm willing to put that as my first pick.
Okay, Barry?
I actually did not review any of this content, so I didn't vote on it. But my money says probably Carrie Fisher's probably going to win.
Yeah. Probably true, yeah.
Probably.
I mean, the content definitely sounded at least interesting.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, now that I notice it, you know, like what Kevin was just talking about, the Words Are My Matter book, I think I'm probably going to go back and peruse that through the packet at least.
Sounds good. All right. So next we have Best Dramatic Presentation Long Form, which has Arrival, Deadpool, Rogue One, Ghostbusters, Hidden Figures, Stranger Things, and no award. Actually, they all have no award. I just kept on
reading.
That's
the one I vote for all of them.
I am inclined to vote for Arrival, possibly then Rogue One, then Deadpool, but I haven't actually seen Deadpool, so I don't know why I'm voting for it.
You really haven't seen Deadpool?
I really haven't seen Deadpool.
Would you like to take the afternoon off? I have it on.
I would love to, but there is a work thing that I need to do called work.
What is this? It's the movie about thing? Like swimming and stuff. There's like a pool in there somewhere.
It's a pool. Exactly. And it is dead.
It's full of tea bags, Kevin.
There's a pool in Stranger Things as well.
This has been the pool cast about pools in science fiction.
Yeah, there's a pool in the TARDIS. They even showed on screen one time, I think.
That's great. That's great. I'm glad you said that. Anybody have any coherent comments about this?
Actually, I would vote. I mean, I don't know. Did you haven't watched Stranger Things? I thought you had.
Oh, I have watched Stranger Things. And that probably, you know, I should probably rank that a bit higher. So especially higher than stuff I haven't seen. So,
I have not seen Stranger Things. I don't have Netflix right now, but I did vote for Arrival as my number one pick.
Right.
And Deadpool is second and Rogue One third.
Now, I really, I am really looking forward to seeing Hidden Figures. I own it. It's on my phone. I haven't actually watched it yet.
Yeah. That's kind of my problem is that of all of these, Hidden Figures is the only one I have not seen.
Love the cast. Looks fantastic. Doesn't seem very science fiction-y.
Well, it's supposed to be historical, right?
Well, yeah, but this
but you're
is
right
the
that
Hugo's.
Isn't most science fiction about the future?
Or, you know, otherwise is speculative, yes. I mean.
Yes, as speculative fiction, it could be about now, but.
I mean,
You're right, though. That is a point that it didn't really occur to me that I guess it's not really science fiction. I mean, I'm sure it's, you know, dramatized to some degree, but
what is Hidden Figures about? I haven't.
It's about African American women in the space program.
Oh, okay.
And so I'm not putting my foot down on this one. I'm totally okay with it.
Is it a documentary or is it a fictionalized documentary?
It's a fictionalized, you know, it's a fictionalized retelling.
Okay.
But, I mean, so would you have put, say, Apollo 13 on this? Maybe. I wouldn't say no.
I wouldn't say it can't be on the ballot.
Right, exactly. Okay, fair enough.
I mean, I don't think I probably would have voted for it.
I mean, it was nominated. What am I saying? I don't even think that you can, I mean, if they had nominated, like, My Dinner with Andre. I think that, you know, that's fine. There aren't any exact rules on this.
That's a speculative fiction.
It actually kind of is. You could really make a case for My Dinner with Andre as like a science fictional type of piece.
It's sort of a light version of Twin Peaks or something. Like.
Exactly.
I actually am voting Stranger Things as my number one by a good margin. Although I liked all the other things on the list. I thought that was really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it definitely evoked its time period in the 80s. And I mean, I'm a sucker for the, you know, D&D and science fiction stuff that they kind of go over in it. But I thought it was really well done. So, you know, but I probably ranked Arrival and Rogue One in 2 and 3.
Okay. Best dramatic presentation short form. We've got The Expanse, Leviathan Wakes, Game of Thrones, The Door, Game of Thrones, Battle of the Bastards. So all of these are somehow related to George R.R. Martin, because the guys behind The Expanse, one of them used to be the personal assistant of George R.R. Martin. And it's not entirely unrelated as to, he's just like, and now I know how to write a series that gets turned into a television show. Then we have Black Mirror, San Junipero, Doctor Who, The Return of Dr. Mysterio, and Splendor and Misery, which is an album by Clipping, which is David Diggs, who is from Hamilton, as far as I know of him, William Hudson, and Jonathan Snipes. So of these, I would be, Battle of the Bastards was a pretty good episode. The Door, I think, is one of the best episodes.
Hodor,
indeed. The Expanse, Leviathan Wakes. I don't remember precisely which episode that was, but I seem to remember it was pretty damn good.
I think the whole series is pretty damn good.
It is. I didn't see Black Mirror. I was very disappointed in The Return of Dr. Mysterio. Well, disappointed isn't the right term. I was simply unimpressed. I also wasn't expecting much going in.
Were you let down?
Not really, because I wasn't expecting much going in.
Yeah,
Fair enough.
It was all right. It was not, you know, it was not the best Christmas episode.
Right.
Let's put it that way.
I don't know if Hellbent is, let's see, which one was it? Was it Heaven Sent or Hellbent, where he was basically alone in the castle?
Hey, no spoilers. I'm several years behind in my Doctor Who viewing.
I want to say Heaven Sent, but I can't remember for sure.
Yes. That one where he was alone in the castle.
Yes.
And that is one of the best episodes of TV I've seen in a long time. I don't know if that's eligible for last year or this year, but I'm surprised that Dr. Mysterio was nominated, because it was fine, but it didn't knock me over.
Yeah, it may have been a year thing. I really can't remember.
Okay.
The Door was very good. Now that you're reminding me which episode it was, I don't remember now which the other Thrones one was. And The Expanse, I've read the first book, but I haven't seen the series.
The Battle of the Bastards is where Jon Snow meets up with is it Ramsay Snow, but now Ramsay Bolton, and they have the giant battle, and they're being compressed into that smaller and smaller circle.
Right. I mean, it was a very well done episode, and
it was very gripping,
because you sort of felt the sort of claustrophobia of you know, there's just nowhere to retreat to. You're just getting squished down further and further.
Even with their giant on their side.
Exactly. Let's see. So moving on past the professional editors, since I've never figured out how to appraise those without actually being a writer, except don't vote for Vox Day.
Agreed.
Best professional artist. Here I can at least comment on name recognition, because Julie Dillon has been a guest of honor at some conventions that I've helped run, and she seems pretty cool. John Picaccio, I've seen his work, and he seems very cool. I don't really know the works of the other ones, so for all I know, they're all fantastic. They probably are.
Yes, I did a quick perusal of the packet. So I can't say much other than that, but I did like Julie Dillon's and Senna Takeda's and a couple of the other ones too were quite nice.
Yeah. And to explain this mysterious packet, when you get your Hugo membership, you get a packet of all majority of the content.
Right, a digital packet.
Right, and they very clearly say, do not print it, do not share it, or you're a bad, bad person.
And I believe this year it included some Steam tokens or something to redeem some of the content there.
Oh, neat, yeah.
Yeah, that's, and we'll talk about that in the next section, or the next section that has it.
Okay, so skipping past best semi-prozine.
That's semi-prozine.
Did you take yours this morning?
It's a Philip K. Dick thing is what it always my brain jumps to. It sounds like it's something.
I'm pretty sure that probably that joke did occur to Philip K. Dick at some point. Best fanzine.
JJ180.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I would say definitely let's skip the Castelia House blog.
It's null routed on my Wi-Fi router.
I personally am voting for Journey Planet as number one for a couple of reasons. One, I know several of the people involved in it, and one of them has asked me to represent him at the Hugos. So if you vote for Journey Planet, I get to go to a nice party. This, of course, should be part of your objective decision-making process. aside from
bring,
that...
Bring me back something?
I'll bring you back something, all right.
Hopefully not an STT.
Moving on. Best fan cast. That would be, by the way, the STT line. That's, I believe, a call forward.
Yes.
Since we're going to be recording out of order.
Time travel. It's time confusing. Travel.
It can be. But it matters, Booba Sousa.
And that's a throwback.
Let's see. So best fan cast. We've got Cood Street Podcast by Gary Wolf, Ditch Daggers by Mara Lafferty, Fangirl Happy Hour by Anna Grillo and Renee Williams, Galactic Suburbia by a bunch of people, The Rageaholic presented by Razor Fist, with an umlaut, TN Jeopardy presented by Emma Newman with Peter Newman and Noah Ward. Once again, I seem to be just reading off no award mechanically. It doesn't actually mean anything when I do that.
I think we should change the name of our podcast to No Award.
That's a really good idea.
Because then it would be true.
And we can might always accidentally win.
Just like, no, you see, we're on the ballot.
That would be pretty hilarious.
Oh, yeah. No,
it sounds like Johnny Drop Tables.
Little Bobby Tables, yes.
Yes, that one.
So let me talk about the good things that come into my mind when I think about Best Fan Cast.
Let me tell you about Best Fan Cast.
We're number one. We're number one.
Exactly. Obviously, they accidentally left ours off.
Accidentally, yes.
Yes, complete mistake.
So we've got TN Jeopardy is a podcast that I really do enjoy. Emma Newman has sort of this unique combination of an actual interview podcast, but also this sort of fictional conceit where she has a time machine and, you know, she takes her entire house and has tea with these people in various points in history. And so it's all fine, and I would like her to interview me someday when I become a famous I don't know what.
Tea podcaster.
Humanoid.
Humanoid. Ditch Diggers, Mer Lafferty and Matt Wallace. Both of these are sort of podcasting pioneers, and I've really liked some of their stuff in the past.
Like I was saying before, I think this list is just here to taunt your T-Rage podcast, since they said, we have the words for T-Rage in here. They're just in two separate podcasts.
The T-Rageaholic. The Rageaholic is actually a T-Rage fan cast. That's a joke, by the way.
You're supposed to read it down.
The other way around. It's T-Rage, T-Rage and Jeopardy-aholic.
It's a podcast about people that really like watching Jeopardy.
I'm sure that exists.
I'm quite sure. Skipping ahead, best fan artist. Here I am voting mostly based on people that I know. So I would vote for Spring Shonoth, who does jewelry. So three-dimensional wearable art, you might say.
Yes, I actually rather liked the images I've seen of them. So yeah, my first one was Lee Kane, however that's pronounced. And then I thought Spring was the number two. I also voted for Visa and Elizabeth, which I'm just using their first names because I'm not really going to try to pronounce the last names of any of them at the moment.
Okay. See. So, on to best series. The Craft Sequence by Max Gladstone. The Expanse by James S.A. Corey. The October Day Books by Shauna Maguire. The Peter Grant Rivers of London series by Ben Aronovich. The Temeraire series by Naomi Novik. And the Vorkosigan Saga by Lois McMaster-Bujold. In a panel, the guys who are collectively James S.A. Corey basically said, feel free to vote for us, but we think that the Vorkosigan Saga should win, and we think it's going to. So, if
there
you want
about a million books in that series, which I've read none, but it's supposed to be good.
I'm probably going to put a few of them on here. Let's see. I don't know about anything about the Craft Sequence, and if you told me that it was actually a science fiction arts and crafts book series, I would have to believe
they time travel by making various arts and crafts items. And I was going to say I have to give them or whoever was involved some extra kudos for, you know, sending out Steam keys for some sort of interactive fiction, I believe, or some game based on the work. So that's at least an interesting way to experience it, I think.
Okay. Yeah. I like Shauna Maguire a lot. The October Day series is not my favorite of her series, so I'm not sure why this one is being nominated. I guess it's her biggest series.
Probably. I guess that's kind of self-selecting by the more books you have, maybe the more fans you have. I don't know if that's really true.
Temeraire, I thought, was sort of a fantastic sort of quasi-steampunky dragons and naval warfare thing, and Naomi Novik is very good. But I'm going to vote for the Vorkosigan Saga because I think that really does have a good, solid place in science fiction history. On the other hand, it's one of those things where, you know, I kind of hope that, you know, we can vote for like the best series and then stop awarding the individual books best book every time. I mean,
right. I do like that concept of just kind of like, okay, it's awesome, but we don't have to have everyone. And I think because in order to be a best series, in order to qualify, you have to have completed the series, I believe.
I think The Expanse may be still going on, but I could be confused.
Okay, maybe I misunderstood the rules.
But I mean, I think there's a minimum number of
maybe that's
items you had to have put out by the time it was was able to be nominated.
You're right. I think that's what I remember misremembering.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Lois McMaster-Bujold just put out something relatively new in the Vorkosigan Saga, and if she suddenly wakes up like next year and says, "I'm going to write another Vorkosigan,"
we're revoking stupid award.
I'm sorry. You can't publish this book.
Yeah, no, I think I was misremembering what Barry said. It was right that you had to have a certain number to be counted as a series that were finished by last year.
Okay. Any other comments about it?
This would be, again, voting mostly on authors that I'm familiar with and not. The only thing I've read is something from The Expanse, and so I don't know. I can't really.
And we'll all be reading it again.
Yes.
You put it in the podcast.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat. I've only read one of The Expanse books, and I haven't read any other material, so
right.
Kind of a little unfair of me to vote.
Actually, then, this is going to be, you know, another way of allowing me to avoid having to make personal choices when I'm actually picking books, is I can just say, oh, okay, we're going to do one from each of these series. It's worse ideas.
Yeah. I mean, I like Naomi Novik and I like Shauna Maguire for sure. So, you know, I like those authors, but I haven't read those.
Naomi Novik wrote Uprooted.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, and that
which I think we all pretty much liked.
I really liked that one a lot. So,
okay. So the John W. Campbell Award, I'm not entirely sure. I keep forgetting, you know, what the John W. Campbell Award actually signifies. I think it's
supposed to be the best new writer, but they give you a couple years to be eligible.
Right.
And I think it just means I don't know if it's a novel or anything you publish, but it's just actually published professionally.
Mm-hmm. So we've got Malka Older, Ada Palmer, Sarah Gailey, J.M. Rooney, Laura Penny, and Kelly Robson.
And no award.
And no award. Yes.
That no award guy wins a lot of stuff.
He's nominated for everything.
I like both Malka Older and Ada Palmer. I don't think I've read any of the others. So, guys, what do you think?
Yeah, those are the only two I've read as well, obviously through the podcast.
Right. We all, you know, I think we all liked Malka Older. There were some split opinions on the work so far of Ada Palmer.
That is true. Although I will say, yes, that author can put words together in a good order.
Well, I'm sure that hearing you say that would just perk her right back up in terms of.
Yes, I think it was more an issue of I could tell that she is skilled, just that those books were not my favorite.
Fair enough.
I think I'd still. It's hard to say. I like the Malka Older book better. And it's her second year of eligibility. So that's one of those weird things where I feel compelled to like, well, she's not going to be eligible next year. So I should vote for her, even if, you know, as a tie splitter or something like that over Ada Palmer, though. I have her down as number one anyway.
Cool. So we've skipped over a lot of them, mostly because we didn't know enough to have a particularly coherent opinion. Not that that has entirely stopped us.
That's what our podcast is about.
Exactly.
Uninformed idiots.
So, this has been our discussion of the Hugo ballot. Kevin, you said you wanted to talk a little bit about one of the novellas, right?
Oh.
Short novels?
Yeah, I guess I was the only one who had read The Ballad of Black Tom by Victor Lavalle.
Yes. Did you want to give us a capsule review?
Sure. It actually reminded me thematically of Lovecraft Country quite a bit. You know, it was kind of set in a similar time, and it was actually about a similar topic. It was actually, I don't have a lot intelligent to say about it, really. But I will say, at first it was kind of like, it's okay. And then it kind of got into it. So I actually would definitely recommend that particular novella.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hodor.
Hodor. Hodor. So, I don't know if we want to get into any spoilers about it, but,
I don't think so.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll just say it is a definite recommend.
Okay.
And it gets a bit into, you know, sort of the outer darkness, you know, thematically. And
does it have a manual to accelerate it?
A manual to accelerate it.
Coming darkness.
Okay.
The outer darkness.
I think I was a little too confused. The only other one from the novella series that I think I was going to read, but then I just kind of ran out of time, was The Dream Quest of Velet Bow, which is a direct reference to an H.P. Lovecraft story, I'm assuming.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm agreeing that you're assuming that.
Well, The Dream Quest of Unknown Kadath is one of his stories, and it's supposed to be about a woman who does a similar dream quest. But, you know, apparently different stuff happens.
But it's not a movie with Madonna. It's not a vision quest.
Yes. Dreaming is another place. I actually really like the dream stories of Lovecraft.
Great to hear. Okay.
I look forward to Cthulhu and being touched for the very first time.
Wow. I'm sure there's like Cthulhu. Can we have a Weird Al cover
touched
type
for
band?
The very first time. Did that help?
Yes, imagining Cthulhu in company.
Moving on to
tentacly goodness.
Moving on to nothing. Till next time, we have been Sci-Fi.
Sci-Fi.
Sci-Fi.